would love for you to join us. If you've never read through the Word of God before and you're like, man, I would love to do that, we're going to take 5 years and go through it. So what's great about this is by next week, you're caught up with us. You're reading the same scriptures we're reading, learning about the same Jesus we're learning about, and understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And so there's two ways that you can join us in this. Number one is that we have little booklets. Bobby's got hers. Yay. So Bobby has her booklet right there. It has all of our reading for 2026. And so you'll be able to pick it up and see what we're reading as a congregation together and pick up right where we are leaving off today. Or you can go online to heightschristian.org. You can go to the visit page, the visit tab, and then under there is a reading plan. And that reading plan is the exact same booklet that Bobby has picked up. And you can download that to your phone. You can download that to your computer, your tablet. And so you'll have it with you always and be able to follow us along that way. And we're in the middle of the Psalms right now. And it is, well, we're getting close to the end of the Psalms. We've been in Psalms for a while. It's been a great journey so far. Have you guys enjoyed it so far? It's been great. How many of you like music? Raise your hand. That's awesome. We do a lot of music looking in our family. I mean, we play music all the time. We're not unusual in that regard. Do you know how much music people listen to? This is around the world. Around the world, the average person listens to 961 hours and 10 minutes per year. I don't know why they threw the 10 minutes in there. An average person listens to 961 hours and 10 minutes per year. But we're Americans. Americans always do more than what the rest of the world does. Amen? And so the average American listens to about 1,400 hours of music per year. That's insane. But it's hard to quantify that. When we say 1,400 hours, it's hard to quantify. Let's take a look real quick. That averages out to about 27 hours of music a week. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're listening to it all at once and all at the same time, because music is one of those things that you can have going on in the background. How many of you listen to music in the background while you're working? While you're at school? While you're reading, while you're going to sleep, while you're watching TV. Don't do that. Some of you do that. It's like, I'm watching TV. So about 2 hours a day just solely focused on music, and another 2 hours a day with it kind of in the background. We love our music. So much so that by the time that we are 18 years old, the average youth will have memorized 3,000 songs. This isn't just the wheels on the bus go round and round, right? Those are the first songs that they learn. They learn their ABCs, right? But these are the songs that are on the radio. These are the other songs. It is estimated that in our adulthood, we learn about 5,000 songs. By the time we have passed away, there's about 15,000 songs that have passed through our life in our repertoire, and we can recall about 5,000 of them. Greg's over there, slackers. That is a lot of information when you think about it. That's kind of crazy when you kind of put all of that together. And so what I want to do real quick, just to kind of prove this point, says that the songs that we memorize doesn't mean that we can necessarily remember them verbatim, but if we had like something to remind us, like if a song starts playing, like you didn't, you're like, I know the song. And then the song starts playing. Like, oh, yeah, I know what the next verse is. How many of you have had that? How many of you are not raising your hand because you're worried? Yeah. So All right. So we got a little test for you. I'm an 80s person. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. It is kind of heartbreaking for me to note that the 80s are 40 years ago. Okay? The 80s are 40 years ago. So all the good music is 40 years old, people. That's what we're saying. All right. I got a test. Let's see if you guys can finish the next line, because I tried to choose something that actually would be more intergenerational, okay, even though this is 80s music. Because all the 80s music now is on all the commercials today, because that's what happens, you know. They're on commercials for stuff like State Farm and stuff like that. All right, so. Whoa, we're halfway there. Okay. Let's try this one. Just a small town girl. All right. It's gonna take a lot to drag me away from you. Go for it, Micah. Micah, I'm waiting on you. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. I am saddened by my 80s brethren on that last one, so all you people. But it's an amazing thing. Here I was with one line, and we know it, right? We can quote that. And those songs have been around for 40 years. Now, some of you guys haven't been around for 40 years. But those songs have been around for 40 years, and they've made their way intergenerationally because you've heard them. You've heard some of the Living on the Prayer right now on the State Farm commercials. Seriously, it's like, it's really sad to hear that. It's like, really? That's where we're at now? Oh my goodness, what are they doing? We love our music, and music disciples. You don't realize it does, but it really does. It disciples us. In the same way, music is a powerful discipleship tool for good or for ill. We need to learn to praise God with our music, but we don't always do that. A lot of the music that I quoted right there, even from the 80s, aren't necessarily godly tunes in and of themselves. There is a discipleship that goes along with that. When I say discipleship, all I mean is they're walking us through a worldview in which we're to believe in. And we buy into it. For every song that we sing, well, oh, that song is so good. That song touches my heart. It speaks to something truthful. And it might, but I can tell you that a lot of the secular songs that are out there don't necessarily point back to the God whom we serve. And as a result, we get more discipled, you and I, in the ways of the world through music by memorizing thousands of songs that can actually either draw us closer to God or further away from Him. We don't think about that often, but think about that. Look at what we just talked about. 3,000 songs, 27 hours every week that we're listening to music. Can you say you're reading your Bible that much? Can you say you're praying that much? And this isn't a guilt trip, by the way. No, I'm not trying to. Next week here at Heights Christian Church, we're going for 30 hours a week of singing to God and 40 hours a week of praying. We're not trying to do that, okay? Don't get me wrong. We should be praying all the time. We should be singing to God. But we should be challenged. Every single one of us are finite in the limited amount of time that we have. And we spend a lot of time on these types of media. And God has, in His Word, preserved songs for Him. Because this week, we read all of the songs that are about hymns and doxology. So what is a hymn? A hymn, according to reformedworship.org, hymns are a celebration of who and what God is and of what He's done. Songs of praise, thanksgiving, and joy in God. And so I want what comes out of my mouth to be glorifying to God. It isn't always, even when I'm singing old songs. And I want to be known as a person who's always got the word of God on my lips. As a matter of fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, he's talking to the crowd, and he says, summoning the crowd, he said, listen and understand, this is, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person. A little bit further down in verse 15, then Peter said, explain this parable to us. Do you still lack understanding? Because they were talking about eating with unwashed hands and unclean hands at the time. Do you still lack understanding, he asked? Do you realize that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and is eliminated? But what comes out of the mouth comes from the heart. And this defiles a person. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, sexual immoralities, thefts, false testimony, slander. These are the things that defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands, that doesn't defile a person. Notice what it says. What comes out of our mouth is what defiles us. So what are you and I singing? It's just music, not according to Jesus. According to Jesus, that has a corrupting nature on our heart. It's the exact opposite of what he's created music for. Because here's something to note. How many of you love music? I love music. That's a good thing. Music is great. God created music. The biggest book in the Bible that we're going through right now, because it's the largest book, is the book of Psalms. All set apart for singing praise to God. And here's the beautiful thing. You know, when we get to heaven, we're going to be singing. Those of you who have dreaded karaoke night, your voices and everything, all that stage fright is going to go away because we're going to be singing to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity. Praise God. Amen. I am looking forward to that day to be able to use my voice in a way that glorifies God for the King of Kings and singing in a way that he deserves. But he doesn't just deserve it then. He deserves it now. And you and I need to recognize that these psalms that we're reading about, these hymns, these doxologies that tell us about how great God is and what he's done for us, really can help us draw closer to God in times when we may not feel like picking up a Bible and reading. Did you know that I memorized James 3, 5 through 10 through a song? James 3, 5 through 10. And not one of the Sunday school songs. You know what I'm talking about, right? Those little Sunday school songs where you're memorizing scripture and it's got the little tune. No, this is a third day song. Third day off of their original album, their very first song on their album, off of their self-titled debut album back in 1995. Yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. Called Nothing at All. And the tagline goes, if you can't say nothing good, don't say nothing at all. And in the middle of the song, he quotes James chapter 3, verses 5 through 10. What a great force is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, reptiles, and creatures of the sea have been tamed and are being tamed by man, but no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be so. Pretty appropriate for what we're talking about today, isn't it? And I memorized it because I like the song. So I sing the song and I quote the verse. Isn't that cool? And there's all types of songs that are like that. And so the encouragement today, before we really step into the scriptures that we're talking about today, is to recognize that the time that we spend singing, using our voices to proclaim things to God, That time where we take the time to listen to music, to memorize those words, can either draw us closer to God or further away from God, depending upon its content and where it's focused on. Let's spend our time wisely. Let's spend our time wisely. So, hymns remind us of the great truths about who God is and what He's done for us. So we're going to discuss what hymns, or in this case, I'm going to put good songs in its place. Hymns are good songs, amen? I love me a holy, 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 don't you? I love singing that today. I love hearing about the great truths of God in song. The songs chosen today were amazing, weren't they? They're just awesome, reminding me again and again concerning the things of God. Good songs do that, whether they be hymns or modern day songs. Let's look for those things that encourage us. So, three things we're going to look at today, based upon the scriptures that we looked at this past week. All right. Number one, good songs remind us to focus on God and His faithfulness, not our situation. Good songs remind us to focus on God and His faithfulness, not our situation. One of the things we sometimes forget when we're reading the Psalms are a songbook. They were sung. They were studied, but they were sung. We don't think of it that way because when we go into Psalms, I have never come up here and read the Psalms in such a way that sings them out, right? I wouldn't even know how to do it with some of the lines, quite honestly. But good songs remind us to focus on God and His faithfulness, not our situation. Psalm 33, let's take a look real quick at this. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 19, it says, "The Lord frustrates the counsel of the nations. He thwarts the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of His heart from generation to generation. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He has chosen to be His own possession. The Lord looks down from heaven. He observes everyone. He gazes on all the inhabitants of the earth from His dwelling place. He forms the heart of them all. He considers all of their works. A king is not saved by a large army, and a warrior will not be rescued by great strength. A horse is a false hope for safety. It provides no escape by its great power. But look, the Lord keeps His eye on those who fear Him, those who depend on His faithful love to rescue them from death, to keep them alive in famine." Notice what it says in the midst of this. God is faithful. Don't trust in your own strength. The warrior, the king, is not saved by his own strength, by his own prowess. A lot of us need that reminder, don't we? How many of you are the type of person that wants to, you know, just kind of push my way through a problem? If I got a problem going on in life, I'm going to push through it. Man, wouldn't it be great if I had a song that reminded me that no matter how great a position I may be in, I need the Lord's guidance? I need that. I need that reminder daily. I really do. Man, songs can do that. Songs can do that. Well-written songs that have the truth of God's word that I want to be reminded with over and over again, that are catchy, that sound really good, right? Whatever style of music, even country music, I heard they have Christian songs. But to be reminded of these great truths are very important. And not just that, let's take a look at Psalm 113, verses 4 through 9. It says, "The Lord is exalted above all the nations, His glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, the one enthroned on high, who stoops to look on the heavens and the earth? He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the trash heap in order to seat them with the nobles of His people. He gives the childless woman a household, making her the joyful mother of children." Hallelujah. Man, it's not just the kings who need to be reminded. It's those who are poor and downtrodden. the childless, the motherless, to realize that, that God has not forgotten you. Man, I need some songs like that in hard times, don't you guys? I need that encouragement to know that God is still there. Music can do that. God has created music. We're reading words of music that is designed for that. And godly music utilizes those things to remind us to focus on God and His faithfulness, not our situation. The second thing is this. Good songs remind us of God's greatness through His creation. Let's take a look at Psalm 33, verses 6 through 9. The heavens were made by the word of the Lord, and all the stars by the breath of His mouth. He gathers the water of the sea into a heap. He puts the depths into storehouses. Let the whole earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke and it came into being. He commanded and it came into existence. We're looking at Psalm 95, verses 3 through 5. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. The depths of the earth are in His hands, and the mountain peaks are His. The sea is His. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. I need reminders of who created all of this. I don't know whether you know it or not. We're in a little bit of a drought right now. It has been kind of wild driving over the Rio Grande for spots of this summer, and there's been no Rio Grande. I mean, like, nothing. Not even a trickle. And we can talk about water conservation, and we can talk about, you know who we should be praying to? Is the one who created the heavens and the earth and all that's in them, right? We should be praying for rain. We should be praying that God would send rain. We don't deserve it, but God, would You be gracious enough to send rain to this parched and thirsty land to show Your hand of mercy and mighty for people to see? Unexpected. That's how we should be praying. But I forget sometimes, don't you? Man, it's bad out there. Man, it's terrible. And we put it in terms where we kind of forget about God. I need reminders that He's created it all. Good songs can do that, right? Good songs that are crafted and created like these to remind us God created everything. Haven't we read that before anything was made, He spoke it all into existence? Do you think a little rain would be too hard for Him to conjure up if His people prayed? And it's not just about that. We can talk about any of those things concerning all of creation. Do we trust that God really created it all, or we're just like, oh, that was bad that that happened? Right? We serve a God who created heaven and earth and everything in it. And we can pray to Him. We need to be reminded of His greatness through His creation. And the third thing to focus on. Good songs remind us of His word, how we're His, and how we're redeemed in Christ. Now, you might be saying, hey, that's three things. That's not one. You're cramming them all together. But the purpose of God's word is to reveal salvation in Jesus Christ. The purpose of God's word is to reveal salvation in Jesus Christ. Revelation 19:10, you have the angel talking to John, and as he's talking to John, John's about to lay down and worship the angel who's bringing him this message. He says, don't do it, I'm a fellow servant like you. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All of the word of God points to Jesus. And Jesus is where we find our redemption, and we become His. So, this isn't three points, it's one. The word reveals the one whom has been brought for our redemption so that we can be his. Good songs remind us of that. And so let's take a look real quick. Psalm 33, verses 4 and 5. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of his work is trustworthy. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the Lord's unfailing love. It's nice to know that we can trust in God's word. Amen? I need more music that tells me that. How about you? That drives me back to his word. Psalm 100, we're going to read the whole thing because it's only five verses long. It's like, we're going to read the whole thing? Let the whole earth shout triumphantly to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. His people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. Oh, I need that reminder, don't you? That God doesn't forget his people. Praise God. Amen? God hasn't forgotten you. If you call Jesus your Lord and Savior, he has not forgotten, no matter what you're going through. God has not forgotten you. The Lord is good and his faithful love endures forever. His faithfulness through all generations. I need that reminder. Man, it'd be good if it were in a song. Psalm 95, 6 through 11. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me, and they tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was disgusted with that generation, and I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray. They do not know my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Again, we're reminded of his word. We're reminded of our past. Like, Pastor Jeremy, why are we reading that passage of scripture? That seems kind of an odd thing to remember. Kind of remembering our failures, bringing them before the Lord. Well, there's a reason why this passage of scripture is being used, is because it actually points to Jesus. So if we read in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 14, you'll see exactly how it's used. It says, therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was in all of God's household. For Jesus was considered worthy of more glory than Moses, just as the builder has more honor than the house. Now every house is built by someone, but the one who built everything is God. Moses was faithful as a servant in all of God's household, as a testimony of what would be said in the future. But Christ was faithful as a son over his household. And we are that household if we hold on to our confidence and the hope in which we boast. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your ancestors tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was provoked to anger with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my anger, they will not enter my rest. Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that there won't be any of you with an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start. See, good songs remind us of God's word. Good songs remind us of where we fall short and need the grace that comes only through Jesus Christ. Good songs continually draw us back to Jesus. You and I need to surround ourselves with good songs. And maybe we do sometimes. I remember the largest growth in my Christian walk, especially in my early walk with Jesus, was when I changed my music from secular music to Christian music. And for a long period of time, that's all I listened to. Just Christian music. Never had Christian music in my life before. I was challenged in a Sunday school class that Shannon and I were going to start listening to Christian music. I flipped everything over to start listening to Christian music. And from that time, I started growing like nobody's business. You know why? Because in every area, I was being encouraged to go back to trust God, to trust His faithfulness, to trust that creation shows that we have a God who's over everything. And to draw me back to the Word. Over and over and over again, to remind me that I'm His, and to remind me that Jesus is the one who died for me. When I began to have that surrounded everywhere I went, it made a huge difference in my life. Because I was always surrounded with reminders that Jesus loved me. Jesus cares for me. Jesus wants me living for Him. Jesus doesn't want me denying Him through my actions. Jesus wants me walking with Him humbly and sharing the good news with other people. And it wasn't just the Word of God that I was reading or my prayer life. It was the music I was listening to. And here's a truth that I'm sure we can all agree with. The older you get, the less music you listen to. All the studies were showing that. Some of you might be, but I've listened to a lot of music. A lot of you are like, I listen to 30 minutes a day. That's a lot of music. When we were younger, we were listening to it all the time. Headphones on, something going on in the background. I would say to a certain extent, there's a healthiness to that so long as it's directed toward the Lord. That it reminds us again and again of His Word. Reminds us of who we are in Christ, what He's done for us. You know what's going to happen? If we surround ourselves with the message of Christ 24/7, 365, we're going to find that when we fall short, which we all will, sin unfortunately is not a gone thing. It is defeated, but it's a defeated enemy. Amen? Someday it will be totally eradicated when Jesus comes back. So guess what? They're going to be, everybody here is going to have a bad day. I hate saying that. You're going to have a bad day. I'm going to have a bad day. But you know what? If I'm surrounded by the Word of God in word, in prayer, and in song, it's going to be a lot quicker turnaround for me to realize what Jesus has done for me. It's going to be a lot quicker turnaround for me to keep focus on Jesus and not on the things of this world. It's going to be a lot quicker turnaround in many of the things in my life because I'm surrounding myself with reminders of who God is, how great He is, how He's created all things and is sovereign over all things, and how He's faithful to me. His child who's accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And He's going to draw me back again. And again and again to His Word. I want to encourage you today. If you are somebody who maybe doesn't listen to a lot of Christian music, not all Christian music is good. Both me and my son would definitely agree with that. So you need to vet even the Christian music that's out there. And line it up with Scripture and make sure that what you're listening to is faithful. But when you find good Christian music, you should listen to it. You should blare it out of your car going up to McDonald's. And they're like, what do you listen to? Oh, this is a great song. I'll tell you about this artist. So much easier talking about an artist sometimes in talking about God. Amen? I mean, I want to get good at talking about God. I mean, I should be because I'm a pastor, but you get what I'm saying. Sometimes it's easier to recommend an artist to say, oh, I didn't know that that was a Christian band, but they sound really good. Might be those seeds that you're wanting to plant. If you don't listen to a lot of Christian music, take a challenge. Take the next 3 months, not 1 month. I'm not doing a Caleb challenge. Take the next 3 months, research some good music, music that lines up with the scriptures, stuff that you like, stuff that will remind you about God, and see how adding that to your life enhances your walk with Jesus. I think, like me, you'll be surprised on just how much that will change you and your witness. Would you stand with me? Music is a gift from God, and I am so glad that we are going to continue to worship God from now into eternity. Amen? I'm glad that singing isn't just for here. I'm glad that you and I have the privilege to be able to sing for all of eternity those things that will be worthy because He is worthy. The good news is we get to start practicing right now. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much. Thank you for this day. Thank you for the music that you give. I just pray to your Heavenly Father for us to surround ourselves with your word, not just by reading your word, not just by praying your word, but by singing your word, oh God, by being reminded of your greatness, of who you are, of what you've done for us, of how you've created everything, how you're sovereign over everything, and how you sent your son Jesus to redeem us. Humble us, oh God. Lift us up, oh God. Remind us. Draw us to you quicker as we praise you. Because you and you alone are worthy. In Jesus' name, amen.